Other than Esther, my very best friend in the entire world is here this morning, and that's Pastor Rob Spina. And God has just done an amazing thing in bringing our lives together, and I'm so thankful. So when it worked out that he had this day available, it was God all the way. He's the founder of, at that time was called New Beginnings Fellowship, now it's called Hope Unlimited Church in Monrovia. Rob has some 40 years in the ministry, and in the last few years has now transitioned and turned the church over to his son, Robert Spina Jr., who is now, and maybe some of you know who he is now the lead pastor there. And Rob still ministers in the church, does life groups, does counseling, and does a lot of traveling like this, and just brings a great, great word of encouragement everywhere he goes. So can we give a Family Life welcome to my friend, Rob Spina. All right? Sure love you. I'm glad you're here.
Good morning. I would be very remiss if I didn't begin in a very special way today. I did a message a couple years ago called The Ripple Effect. Having a ripple effect on other people's lives, where we go, what we say, how we respond to them, react, what we seed into them. And when he says that I'm his best friend, know this, that he's my best friend. Now, realize, we're both married. Our wife is our one flesh. They know us better than anybody. But after that, your pastor, I just want you to understand, you may think you only know him according to his ripple effect here. Your pastors, their ripple effect here and in your life and in your family. But the ripple effect that your pastor, Pastor Ray, has had in my life, I have the opportunity, and I'm so blessed to travel the world. My wife and I just came back from Australia. We were at our five campuses there, five Hope UC churches in Australia. And he's my go-to. When I get home, had a lot of venting to do, stuff to get off, things to share. And I trust him implicitly. And being a man that has counseled tens of thousands of people over 43 years of ministry, I trust him. And trust in my life is one of the biggest issues. You know, you have the best birthday ever because I have never met a man that deserves it as much as you do, you precious, precious friend. I love you with all my heart. You are a godly man. You are a good husband, a great father, a good grandfather, soon a great grand. No. All right, can we get started now? Enough of the mush. Pastors, thanks for letting me be here. Listen, this morning I'm going to teach on my latest book. Is this my latest book? Favor Factor? Yes. You know, there's two books. I've written 9. Number 10 will be published at the end of this year. And number 8 was a book called Identity Theft. Identity Theft became a bestseller around the world. Identity Theft is now being used in life groups all the time. But we get letters almost every week from young ladies that have gone through identity theft because of the enemy's ability to somehow rip off the people of God concerning their identity. You know, the world wants to find their identity in what they do, what they own, what they drive. You know what I'm saying? The job they have. That's how they find their identity. But we find our identity in Christ. And when our identity is found in Christ, whew, that's freedom. And then I wrote Favor Factor. And the amazing thing about Favor Factor is there is never a church that I go to. There's never been a church that I've gone to and taught this message that there hasn't been a ripple effect of stories of God's great favor being poured out. Would anybody like favor in their job here? All right, well then some of you don't want to raise, I get it. Some of you don't want to promote, I get it, that's all right. How many of you would like favor in a relationship that you're currently in? How many of you would like favor the next time you get on an airplane, go to a hotel, get in a cab? See, the favor, next time you go on vacation, I'm sorry, we ran out of regular rooms. We're going to have to put you in a suite. Yeah. Yeah, see, now they start amening, right? It's like, yeah, talk about my job. Well, that's just, you know, whatever. But vacation, yeah. Listen, my job, if I have one, is like a vacation. I do what I love. I love what I do. And God's favor is poured out all over me. Now, you don't believe that, you will by the time I'm done. Because I'm going to start out this morning by telling you three stories of what I term crazy favor on my life. Y'all need crazy favor. Why is it called crazy favor? Because the world doesn't understand the favor that God gives his kids. See, I may not be God's favorite, even though I know I am. I just don't want you to be embarrassed. I may not be his favorite, but I am his favored. And so are you. But like everything else, it comes by faith. You've got to take the word of God and apply it to yourself and believe it. I am God's favorite. Would you all say that, all of you? See, I'm going out in faith right now. All of you say, I am God's favored.
I am God's favorite.
Say, favor comes to me.
Favor.
I know even for some of you, that even sounds weird. See, every day of my life, I get up and I say this, Father, I thank you that I have favor in all ways. Father, I thank you that I have favor with every man and woman that I come in contact with. Father, I thank you that I see favor operating in my life, in my church's life, in the pastors of our church, in their life. Father, I thank you that I have favor everywhere, in all things, in all times, everywhere, always. I want God's favor. Now, you should want it too, but here's what I realized coming in that I was going to do. I'm going to build you an appetite for favor. You know how that happens? How many of you ever have lunch at Costco? My grandson said to me once, he said, hey, Papa, take me to lunch. I said, okay, where do you want to go? He said, let's go to Costco. I said, what do you mean? Oh, you want a hot dog or a piece of pizza? He goes, no, let's just walk through those little samples 10 times and we'll be good. He really said that to me. And I said, yeah, I know what you mean. Let's go. Free lunch on me. But you know what it's like. You go through there and you think, I'm just taking their food. And then you take it, you take, well, that's not bad. Right? Oh, yeah, that veggie hamburger, all, yeah, that's delicious. And then you get it home, and it sits in your freezer for 2 years, and you know, anyways, never eat it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to create, and you can be as quiet as you want, because I understand that sometimes when God is dropping something in us, we got to hear it. We got to let it resonate in our spirit. Psalm 5, verse 12 says, this is how I know. Listen to this. This is how I know your favor is on my life, because my enemies never triumph over me. Oh, I want that kind of favor operating in my life, and so should you. Like my enemies, sometimes your enemies are the doctor's report. They never triumph over me. Sometimes it's a financial report. Sometimes it's a marital report, a child report. But I got to be in that place where, oh, those enemies never triumph over me. And that's because I stand and operate in the favor of God. Story number one. 10 years ago, Tanya and I, that's my wife, not 10 years ago. Oh, my gosh. For 10 years, my wife and I rented a Seventh-day Adventist church on Saturday. I mean, on Sunday. They had it on Saturday. We had it on Sunday. So we would come in, kind of like you guys are doing, and we would set up. Have church, we'd be there for a few hours, and go home. And that's the whole time we had it. Finally, my wife said, it's time for us to get a new building. So we saw a building for lease close to us. I called the number, talked to the realtor. We loved the building. The guy said, I talked to the owner. He doesn't want any stinking church there. I promptly said, we're not a stinking church. We smell really good. He goes, the owner doesn't want you. Click. 2 years later, my wife says, hey, look, 2 years, that building is still for rent. It's still for lease. But there was a new realtor on. She goes, call again. Well, you know, I learned a long time ago, happy wife, happy life. I'm not going to argue with her. So I called the number, got this new realtor. He goes, let me talk to the owner. The next day, I had an appointment with the owner. I walked into the building. I found out that he was the largest manufacturer of cabinet kitchens, kitchen cabinets in the world. He had 2 million square feet of manufacturing space in the city of Irwindale. He walks up to me. He doesn't even let me in his office. He had 10 secretaries literally outside his office. I just walked into the middle and he says to me, he goes, so what kind of church do you have? I was so intimidated. I went, Jesus church. My wife kind of laughed. She goes, you know, like a Jesus church. Yeah, a Jesus church. And he goes, and then he asked two more questions. And you know what he did? He said, thank you. And he turned around and then he came back and he goes, you know how much I'm asking for this? I said, yeah, about that. He goes, what do you mean about that? I said, well, you're asking that. I can only pay half. He looks at me. He goes, you know you need a $20,000 security deposit. I said, about that. I don't have any money. He looks at me. He goes, you realize that the whole building will have to be torn out and rebuilt for a church? He says, do you have money for that? I said, about that. He goes, you know what he did? He said, thank you very much, and he walked away. That was it. The meeting lasted less than 5 minutes. No coffee, no sit down, no feel comfortable. Have a seat, Pastor Rob. Glad you came. 4 or 5 questions, mostly about money. He's gone. We walked out. We weren't like really super pumped, super excited. Now realize, this was a large building. Our old campus. The next day, I get a phone call from the realtor. And I said, oh, here it comes. And my wife says, don't be like that, you know, behind the phone. Don't be like that. I'm okay. Hello. And I said, what happened? He said, well, you know how you said you could only pay half? I said, yes. He said, well, about that. He said, yes. He said, you know how you can't pay anything towards the down payment or a security money? He said, okay, you don't have to pay anything for security. Let me tell you what he did. About the tear down, that was going to cost, you ready? $125,000. It might have been $125 million to us. He came to me, this man that asked me 4 or 5 questions that gave me a 5-minute meeting, and you know what he said? He said, I'm going to not only tear out the building for you on my dime, I'm going to build it the way you want it built on my dime, hold on, and you never have to repay it. He said, wait, I haven't even started on favor yet. He says, now realize, I'm paying less than half. He's paying almost $200,000 to tear out the building and build it the way I want it. Then he says, and I have decided for the first 5 years, you don't have to pay electric, gas, trash, or anything else. Just make the rent payment and you're good to go. Would you call that favor? It gets bigger. So Tanya and I walk out and we go, we got a building. Woo! We're dancing to the car, right? Let's go to the city and get a permit. So we ran to the city. We went right straight to City Hall, City of Irwindale. Walked up to the desk of the building department. May I help you? Yes, I'm Pastor Rob. We just got a building. What's the address? Told them. They go, oh, that won't work. So what do you mean that won't work? That's my building. They said, oh, that won't work. You're not zoned. You're going to have to do traffic studies. You're going to have to do. And I said, can I talk to the head of the building department? The guy looked at me and said, I am the head of the building department. Well, you know what? It's like one of those moments where are you believing God on the favor he's already given you? Are you going to believe God for more favor to take it all the way? Or are you going to give up now? Because that favor that we originally got from the owner doesn't mean anything if we don't go into the building, right? So this guy says, as a matter of fact, I'll tell you right now, you might as well not apply because I don't want you there. Did you just hear that? I don't want you there. I'm the head of the building department. So I went back to the owner. I told him what happened. He said, listen, whatever he tries to do, favor. He says, I'll take care of it. They tried to tell him he had to build a $100,000 sidewalk around the building because the church was moving in. He said, okay. He had it all engineered and designed. And the building department guy didn't like it. He goes, the building department says, you don't have enough parking spaces. You need a traffic report. You need. He says, you got to go before the city hall. You got to go before the city council. And you've got to seek permission to get in here. They've got to grant you, even with me being against it. And I'll tell you what, they're not going to let you in because I'm against it. Favor of God. Are you hearing me? It doesn't just all of a sudden pour out and you just walk into it. You've got to stand in faith as well. See, if there's a challenge here this morning, it's to challenge you to stir your faith regarding God's favor on your life and on this church. Finally, the day of the building department meeting, the city council meeting came. Our whole church showed up, all 70 of us. Yeah, our church grew amazing. We started with 13 and we were at 70 in the first 10 years. It was just like, blew it up. All 70 of us went into We went into the meeting and the city council says, oh, we got a lot of guests here tonight. Let's just move them to the top of the agenda. We'll do this first. And so they call on the head of the building department. He stands up. And it was like one of those moments like on TV where he goes, here's all the reasons I don't want them in Irwindale. And it was like this list dropped from his hand and rolled across the floor. You know what I mean? So he says the first thing, too much traffic. There's 70 of us. How many cars do you think this is? Then he says, they don't have enough parking. All of a sudden, now bear with me. We're teaching on the favor of God. One of the city council members stands up. I've never met him. To this day, I've never met him. Never introduced to him. You know what that guy did? He said, wait a second. We've got the head of the building department against us. The city council always votes with the head of the building department regarding zoning. Church permits. This guy stands up and he says, I'm sitting next to my wife when he said, stop. He said, we need men like Pastor Rob Spina in our city. We need churches like Hope Unlimited in our city. I think the five of us should just not go on with this any further and vote right now. What do you guys say? They said, yes, let's vote. He said, all in favor say aye. Every hand shot up and we were approved like that because of the favor of God. See, men can be resistant to what God wants to do in your life, but the favor of God takes you way beyond men's resistance. When he said, we need men like Rob's, I said to my wife, what did he say? She looked at me as shocked as I was, and she said they need people like you in their city. Obviously, they don't know you, you know. And from that day on, the favor of God just poured out. That guy went so far, the owner of that building, we never repaid him. He never asked for the money. He told me we didn't have to repay him. Of all the rent he accumulated from 10 years of being there, we're in a new campus now. But in the 10 years we were there, I think he barely broke even. But guess what I found out later on? That his boys, his sons, he supported them in secretly smuggling Bibles into China. And there was something in my spirit that caught his spirit, and the favor of God went into operation. Man, no matter what the hurdle, no matter what it looks like, no matter how many people have said no to you, when God says yes, go with his yes, and he will provide the favor to let you in. That's a pretty good story. You're going to really like this one. My son and I, the church had really begun to grow. We were in our new campus, and we sat down one day having our little powwow, like I'm sure your pastors do with their boys who are, you know, the heir apparents and being called and growing up in ministry. And so I'm sitting with one of my sons and said, I just feel like we should do something big for the city. So we got involved with the city and We started putting in handicap rails and bathrooms for senior citizens. We started having our men build ramps for people that were in wheelchairs that didn't have access. And so we started helping the city, and they were very, the city of Monrovia, and they were very grateful because they had lost funding for those particular things. Then I said to my, I got to hustle, man, huh? Then I said to, did you really say 10:25? Is that clock right?
10:30.
Could you set that back 15 minutes, please? Somebody back, just set it back. I got to hustle, you guys. So here's the story. We find out about a woman in our city whose husband's died, who was involved in the welfare system and child care system. What do you call the child care when they... Foster program. She had 8 kids with her husband, and her husband fell in love with these 8 kids, all from the same family. From like 14 years old down to 2 years old, they fell in love with me. You know what they did? They adopted them. You know what happened? He died of a heart attack 2 months later. Now she has no money to provide for the kids. We heard about the story. Robert and I, my son, we went over to her house, knocked on the door. She had never been to our church. She didn't even know who we were. And I said, hey, so she let us in. We walked into the house. This house was in such disrepair that the drywall ceiling was hanging down 2 feet from water rot. The walls, paints were stripped. The floor was buckling up. The kitchen looked like nothing had been done to it for over 50 years. The bathrooms were in disrepair. The house was shot. The windows didn't work. And all of a sudden, we knew what we needed to do. Home makeover, baby. So I'll tell you this story as quickly as I can. We moved her and the kids out. We got 200 people from our church. Now, I got to tell you, the favorite part is that when we said we were going to rebuild our home, we had the intention of rebuilding the whole house and putting all brand new furniture inside. Well, that's kind of hard. You know what? When we met with our finance person, we said, how much do you think we have in here for this project? They said, you don't have a cent in here for this project. All right, then we'll do what we've done. We'll just depend on the favor of God. We started without a penny towards the project. Move them to a hotel on my credit card. You know what I'm talking about? Take care of them. Whatever they want, they can have. Well, here's what happened. People got word of what we were doing, and all of a sudden, contractors are showing up at the house saying, hey, I'll donate my materials and my time. And do you know that in 7 days, people from our church working around the clock turned that falling apart home into a show palace. All new furniture. Didn't cost the church, you ready? 1 cent. People stepped in the favor of God, donated carpeting, washers and dryers, bathrooms, toilets, sinks, brand new. Isn't that right, son? At the end of it, the media shows up, channel 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, and 13. We put her and her family behind a bit. We didn't have a bus, so we got a big truck, moving truck. And I told our guys, okay, they're behind the truck. We're going to reveal the house. Move the truck. Well, my guys, they're really great workers. They're just not the sharpest knife in the drawer sometimes. Like 5 guys, like poly size, get behind the truck and start pushing it. And I said, guys, just start it up and drive it away. Oh, okay, Pastor. So they pull the truck away. She sees it. She's crying. God is glorified. The favor of God in operation. Isn't that an amazing story of favor? But wait, there's more to the story. There always is, right? So we're all done. Favor of God. I mean, that would be good enough that we rebuilt an entire 2,000 square foot home, fully furnished it without spending a dime. Favor of God. But 3 days after we were done, I get a phone call. One of the girls in the office comes and says, Pastor, there's a man on the phone from Home Depot. He'd like to talk to you. I thought, I don't have a Home Depot credit card. I wonder what he's calling about. So I pick up the phone. He goes, hello, my name is so-and-so, and I'm from Home Depot. And I said, How can I help you? And he goes, well, I heard about what you're doing. I said, what am I doing? He said, you're rebuilding a home. I said, huh, how'd you hear about it? And who are you again? He told me, he says, I am the chief operating officer of Home Depot worldwide. I said, does that mean you're the man? He goes, I am the man. He goes, I am the top of the chain in this corporation. He goes, I'd like to open my Home Depot for you, and anything and everything you need is on me for the home. Well, you're saying amen. We're all done. We're done. And you know what a feeling to know that you operated in the favor of God. See, if Home Depot had called 2 weeks earlier, we would all be giving glory to Home Depot. Right? But I'm not giving glory to Home Depot. I'm giving glory to my God because of the favor he's applied. So I said, man, that is really kind. And I want to bless you for your heart. But we're all done. You know what that man said to me? He goes, you're all done. He goes, I want to do something for you. Now I'm starting to think selfish. I got a house. I didn't say that, but I thought it. Just being honest, transparent. I got a house. Here's what he says. He says, I got to do something. And I thought, I don't know what to do. He goes, just tell me. I said, what am I supposed to tell you? It was 2 weeks before Christmas. He goes, how big is your church? I said, well, it's not that big. I said, probably got 100 families, maybe at the most. He said, okay, I'll have a 40-foot truck there this Sunday filled with Christmas trees for every person in your church. The total cost of that was only like $20,000. And that Sunday, a truck pulled up. And our church, you ready for this? I got up there and I got to stand. I said, listen, here's what y'all did. And here's the ripple effect of your outpouring of love. And they went out there and they picked their own Christmas tree. Now check this out. My wife and I left that day, that Sunday, hours later, after everybody got in their tree. We walked out with one of our ushers. And he said, Pastor, there's one tree left. Do you want it? And I'm thinking, well, everybody got one. There's nobody even left here at church. I said, well, what about you, son? He goes, my wife took it. We got it. I said, no, I'm not supposed to take it. I want you to take it outside, beautiful tree, lean it against the fence of our property, and put a sign on it that says free tree. That's all I want you to do. He said, done. Before we even left, I saw the tree out there. My wife and I are getting in our car. I look outside the fence, and here pulls up this little Hispanic family. Now, I don't know if they were poor or not, but the two tires on this side of the car that was all rusted and dented with a broken window type thing, the two tires on this side had those little balloon tires. There were three or four little kids in the back, mom and dad in the front. I see them. I mean, they're not that far from me. I see them stop, and the guy's pointing, and the wife goes. But remember what it says. Free tree. It didn't say free tree, courtesy of Pastor Robert M. Spina, courtesy of Hope Unlimited Church. It just said free tree. That guy got out, put that tree on top of his car. They didn't even have any rope. He grabbed it by one side, she grabbed it by the other, and those children inside went crazy with delight as they drove away. Because the favor that's supposed to be in your life, that's in my life, isn't just for you. It's supposed to carry over into other people's lives. Story number three. Man, you guys aren't even going to let me get to the teaching this morning. Are you getting something out of this? This book, Favor. Favor is a supernatural gifting, a supernatural anointing that enables the possessor of it, that's you, to have open doors and the cooperation of others to fulfill his or her destiny, to fulfill their assignment from God or their heart's desire. Favor is a God empowerment to succeed, thrive, prosper, and be protected even at the inconvenience and expense of others. Sorry, Pastor Ray. I have a great teaching here. I'll save it for another time. I really do. From the Word. Oh, I'll teach at Nick's service? Y'all should stay then because it's really great, but I got to tell you the last story. Say Lisa. Lisa. Can you all say Lisa?
Lisa.
Because I think when you hear Lisa's story, you'll never forget it. I hired Lisa to edit this book. Listen, I took English in college. I took English, and I can't remember one rule of English. So I have all my books professionally edited. So it was sent to her to be edited. I know Lisa. She attends our church. But this was a paid gig, having a professional edit my book. So I sent it to her. I called her about a week later. I said, how's the editing going? She goes, oh my gosh, Pastor Rob, I just finished reading it for the second time. She goes, I'll get started on it, but this book is changing my life. I'm just telling you what happened. This is exactly what happened. Next week, I called her again. The next week, she says, I'm reading it for the third time. Listen, just let me finish this time. I got to get this in me, and then I'll get started. She finished the third time. She got started. I talked to her after she was done, and she said, I have been standing in this thing you call favor, and the Word of God calls favor now for 2 weeks, and I got to tell you what happened. Now, if you know Lisa, Lisa has only been saved about 5-6 years, single mom, led a pretty wild lifestyle, but when she got saved, she just gave her heart to Jesus. Just a miracle rebirth. Serving at the church, loving God, but she's, like I said, edited, probably knows it as well as I do. Sorry, sound. And she said, let me tell you what happened as I've been believing for favor. She said, a couple that I know called me up and asked me out to dinner. I went. I like them very much. She goes, we were sitting there having a nice dinner, and the husband asked me, Lisa, do you have any debt? And she says, well, yes, I do. And he goes, how's it coming getting rid of the debt? She goes, well, between my rent, my teenage daughter, my groceries, my car, my insurance. How many of you know what I'm talking about? She goes, my $64,329 debt isn't getting any lower. Now, Pastor Rob, how do you know that exact amount? Well, I'm going to tell you. He said, so your debt is $64,329. She said, yes. She goes, but I'm believing. And he goes, well, you don't have to believe anymore. And he reached in his pocket, took out his checkbook, and wrote a check for $64,329. And in that one moment of believing God for favor, that woman walks in a sense of freedom. And she has an anticipation of the favor of God wherever she goes. You know that story about the building? It impacted me in a huge way. You know why? Because it's what I'm believing for you. But I need you to begin to anticipate like I do. I expect favor. If I go to a restaurant today for lunch, I expect favor. Why? Because I'm God's child. Listen, if the son or daughter of the President of the United States goes somewhere, they may not even hold an office, but they expect the favor of God. And if they don't get it, they'll have the Secret Service get it for them. But I want to increase the favor of God so much in your life. I want you guys to begin to expect that same kind of, not the exact same things, that's not important, but the exact same kind of favor that we experienced it as a church to get in. See, this church is going. They expect favor. Their staff expects favor. The church should expect favor. You didn't come this morning just so I could teach you. You came this morning. See, when you stop learning, you stop growing. And when you stop growing, you stop having an effect We need to grow in the favor of God today and in a big way. Would you bow your heads with me? I am so sorry I didn't finish.
Thank you so much for listening in to hear the word of God today. At Family Life Church, our purpose is to help you grow into full maturity in Christ. You can join us on Sundays at the Covina Center for the Performing Arts at 9:30 and 11 a.m. Or if you are interested in joining one of our life groups, you can do so by clicking Next Step at the top of your screen. And now you will be led in a simple prayer.
Somebody here this morning, yeah, somebody's here this morning, are believing for favor. You need it. You need God's favor. David said, his favor surrounds me as a shield. It wasn't to hold back favor. It was to be a magnet to attract favor. The law of attraction in the area of favor in his life. Come on. I want you all to examine yourself now. Who here could use favor in their finances or in their job or in their marriage or with their children or a restoration of relationship? Or you're about to buy a car. You need favor when you walk in to buy the car. This book has 22 stories of favor, all from people I've had the privilege of pastoring. I think all but one. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Rob, nobody looking around, every eye closed, just for a minute, be honest. Don't worry about other people. And you say, I need favor in my life. Would you just raise your hand? Just put it up in the air. I got to believe that more than 70% of you need favor in your life. Maybe you need favor on a test in school. Maybe you need favor with that boyfriend or that. Come on, yep. All right. Well, with almost every hand raised, you can put them down. You know, favor for me begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's where the starting point is. You may know about him, but do you really know him? Is it intimate? Is it real? I'm going to ask you today, if there's somebody here that doesn't know our Jesus, this one that extends such amazing favor, I'm going to say this to you, and for some of you Christians, it's going to shock you. The word favor and the word grace in the Hebrew and the Greek are the exact same word. You can't change it. So you could say by grace alone you're saved. It's by God's favor alone you're saved. It's the same word. It's nothing you can change. When you have God's grace, you have his favor. When you have his favor, you have his grace. We need to start with the grace that came from God in Christ Jesus, who came from God, full of grace and truth. If that's you, and you need Jesus this morning, would you just raise your hand? And we're not going to call you up here. I'm not going to have you stand up. I see that hand right here for you ushers, right here. There's this young man in the back there. There's another one. There's two. There's three. Anyone else this morning? Well, I'm not sure how we do it here, but I'm going to just do this. I want those of you that raised your hands, the three I saw, to pray this with me. And church, would the rest of you pray it out loud to help them along? Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you raised Jesus from the dead, that he was my substitute. And today is my day of life, of being born again, of becoming your child. Thank you for forgiving my sins, for cleansing me from all unrighteousness. I am forever yours, and you are forever mine. In Jesus' name, amen.